You can see, the word on up on the board is experience. I'm going to use that word a lot, mainly because I couldn't think of another word to intermingle, to mix it up a little bit. So you're hearing the word experience a lot this morning. After my last sermon, we are in the elders had designed this year, breaking down the year over different topics. Our current topic for the last few months has been unity. After my last sermon, I didn't do it on unity, so I promised I would do this one and touch on the topic that we're actually supposed to be talking on. So we are going to talk about unity in some way or form today. So let's get into this idea of unity a little bit. And I want to bring up, think about what your morning's been like so far. Like, what have you seen? What have you experienced? When you pulled in the parking lot, you know, our nicely newly paved parking lot last year. You walked into the front door, a nice building, a little bit dated, but still, you know, kept clean, kept up. You walked in here, again, pews a little dated, but the cushion still works, like they haven't given out yet. You don't sit down and get a poof of, like, you know, deteriorating cushion underneath you. So we have that going for us. And we're singing songs that some of us know. Going through that experience together. Poor Alan, sorry. We were just talking. Had our Lord's Supper, things that we've done before. So we've gone through this experience. We've all kind of experienced the same thing. That's unity, right? We're all going through the same thing together. And yet, each and every one of us has had a completely different and unique experience this morning. And this is what I mean by that. Some of it is because of our environment. So depending on where you parked, if you parked up closer to the door, it was very nice. If you parked farther out, you saw the weeds that are growing up in the cracks of our newly paved parking lot. If you walked in the door and this was your 500th time being here, by the way, that's 10 years, right? If this was your first time being here and you're like, okay, I'm not sure where to go, second or third time, that's a different experience. Are you sitting on this side of the room? Is a different experience than sitting on this side of the room. This is the cool side, by the way, guys. Good job. Okay. Are you sitting with friends, or did you have to pay somebody to come up and sit with you? Right? So when we look at this, right? The entire, you know, Jaren's entire family was bribed to come up front, except for one. She abandoned you. I don't know where she's at. So we have different experiences just depending on where we're sitting, right? Are you sitting underneath the strobe light that turns on and off throughout the service, or are you sitting farther back where it might not be as noticeable for us? So as we're going through this morning, we're having these just because of our physical environments, some differences. But the real interesting difference is the people. When you walked in the door, who greeted you? Who didn't greet you? Who looked at you and interacted with you? Who didn't? Who'd you say hi to? And as you walk in that door and you begin to realize our interactions with one another starts to change up things a little bit. When you walked in, were you greeted warmly? Did you slip in unnoticed? Some came in full of joy. Some came in burdened with a lot of cares. These are all some things that have been getting into our differences. And what we begin to notice about unity is that while the moment is shared, the experience isn't. Because your experience is different than mine and what we're going through this morning. Here's some things I've been kind of thinking about. If every person experiences the room differently, and who's creating your experience? What are you interacting with? What are you seeing as you're going through this? We can't conduct this. Every person in the room is contributing to the experiences of the people around them. Fair? So, in other words, you're contributing to my experience, and I'm contributing to yours this morning. Paul touches on this a little bit. We can't actually control the experience we receive. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, Paul says, if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. I like that first statement, if it's possible. What he just basically told you is that there are going to be times where it's not possible. There's times where you can't control it, where it's outside of your realm. And that's our experience coming from us, from other people, coming at us from other people. We can't control whether or not somebody's going to ignore us or disappoint us, encourage us, wound us. Those are things outside of our control. We simply cannot control what is happening and what you're doing to me and what I'm doing to you. You can't control that, and I can't control you. In other words, this experience that I'm getting this morning is in your hands. And so when we start to look at this idea of it, it's just the reality. This isn't a new concept. But Paul doesn't stop there with possibility. He goes on, as much as depends on you. And now what he just did was he took this idea of, yes, there's some things outside of your control. But the reality is, there is something within your control. How you act. How you behave. What you're doing. The experience you create, if you would. So what are you creating? We have this responsibility for the experience we create for others. I appreciate Cole reading the passage this morning in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3. It says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others. Esteem others. Look after their interests. Think beyond yourself. Paul's asking us a completely different question. He's not saying, what kind of experience am I having? He's saying, what kind of experience are you creating for those people that you interact with and bump into throughout your day? Here's the key point. Every single one of us in the room is having two different experiences. The one that we're having, and the one that we're giving. God holds us accountable to the second one. Businesses understand this concept of creating an experience. Disney is trying to create something, right? When you go to Disney, beyond taking all your money, they're trying to give you an experience in exchange for that. When you go to Chick-fil-A, they're trying to create an experience for you, right? And they, well, really, they're just trying to say the same phrase over and over to make us feel like it's an experience, right? My pleasure. When you go to a special hotel like the Ritz-Carlton, when you go to the bowling alley, gimmicks over there in Midland, when you walk in, they're trying to create an experience for you. Businesses understand that they're trying to get you to feel a certain way, but that's still how you're going to feel outside of your control. Kelly and I, not too long ago, went to Disney. Now, it was on a business trip, so we got to really cut down a lot of the costs. But as we're going through it, we basically said to ourselves, wow, I understand the experience they're trying to create, but I would certainly not pay to do this again. Right? And so we begin to realize that they can create all the experience they want, but they can't control how I'm going to interact with that. So my question is this, as Christians, do we actually stop and think about the experience we're creating for those who interact with us? Do we stop and think about how people experience me? Are we purposeful about it? Jesus was the master of creating these experiences. Imagine, if you will, we often look at Jesus and we read his life and we take it in from an overview, like we're watching a TV show. And we're getting to see all of it. But if you are a human being entering his orbit, you only got him for a few moments. What would that experience be like? For some people, like the woman at the well, it was life-changing. For some people, it changed their lives for a short period of time while they lived here. Jesus heals 10. How many came back? One. Jesus might change your life for a few moments. He might change your life for a few years, or he might change your life for eternity, depending on what you got out of that brief moment of being with him. I think of the people who sat and listened to him. How many thousands of people heard him preach? And when they got done, they went home and had lunch and went on with their lives. How many people said, I have to stop everything I'm doing and follow him? These people were all getting the same Jesus. You can watch the Chosen, you can watch the shows, you can get the idea of what it would have been like to see his crucifixion. Now, when you're thinking of his crucifixion, you're thinking of watching this from the moment he gets tried, to beaten, to carrying his cross through the streets, outside the gates, up the hill, nailed to it, hung up on it, all the way up to the point he dies. That's what we're picturing. But what would you have seen if you were just a Jew in the city? You would have been standing on the side of the street, watching a criminal carry his cross. And after he went past you, just like a parade on July 4th, the parade's done, and you go back into your house. And you don't stop to realize the cross you just saw was yours. And yet, you went back and lived your life. He's creating experiences, and everybody was experiencing him differently. And the thought that struck me about this man, about our Savior, about the Lord God, is that while he has all the power, all the knowledge, all the ability, he leaves it up to you to decide how you're going to actually walk away from him when you experience him. He doesn't control that moment. That's in your hands. So when we're creating experiences, we can do all the right things like Jesus does, but we don't get to actually choose how people are going to walk away from us. We have people in our lives that we seek out. Let me ask you this real quick. Just think to your moment. If you need wisdom, who do you go to? You have somebody in your life that you might call up, you might talk to, you might go visit. If you need fun, if you need just to let loose, who do you call? Who do you go visit? If you need comfort, if you need help when you're depressed, whose shoulder do you go lean on? Here's the interesting thing. I ask you this question because those people have created for you a repeatable and expected experience. They are your go-to for those things, aren't they? And so if I have those people in my life that have created this experience around them, now here's the interesting thing. Do you go to the same person for everything? Probably not. Most of the wise people in our lives are not the fun ones. Right? I'm sorry for those of you who thought you were. Right? So most, it's fair, right? And most of the fun people in our lives are not the people we go to for comfort when we're sad. Right? Because all we get is the jokes. So the reality is we have these things that we're creating for people. And my question for you is, what are you cultivating? What are you creating for other people? The expectation of these people is based on your history with them, your interactions, your relationship with them. But you can't, again, control how other people are going to take it. Tomorrow, you're going to walk into a room with people in it. And those people are going to look at you, and their life just changed for that brief moment because of their experience with you. What are you giving to them? What do they experience because you walked into the room, because they were interacting with you? What are you creating as a Christian? Right? Are people expecting the world? Are they expecting foul language? Are they expecting the rude jokes? Or what are they expecting when they walk, when you show up? Is it just accidental? Do you not even think it through? Or what are you giving them when you're creating this for them? Paul asks us to humble ourselves and to put ourselves behind and put other people's needs first, thinking about this fact. I think about all the times I walk into a room and ignore people. Walking through the grocery store to ignore people. Kelly, sometimes when we'd be out and about, she'd be like, why do you say hi to everybody when we're walking? Because when we're walking down a path, we're walking down, everybody would put, hi, how are you doing? And she's like, they don't want to talk to you. But here's the thing that I find interesting for myself is as when I'm out jogging or running and I see somebody on the road, I so desperately want them to say hi to me because it can be lonely out there when you're out there by yourself, right? And you're like, another human being, please. And you say, hi. And they're like, you know, they just don't make eye contact with the creepy guy. So the reality is we can create these things for other people as we go around us, but we're choosing what experience we're creating for others. And I want us, as we walk away from today, to simply think about that fact. When you come here, does anybody know you're here? Other than the person standing up front, because I can see you. Who'd you talk to this morning? Who'd you greet this morning? Who'd you smile at? Who'd you connect with? Right? What are you doing for the people here? Or is coming here nothing more than I got to check it off my list because God said I got to do the Lord's Supper and I got to attend. I can't forsake the assembling, so I'm just going to show up. Or am I coming here to give you all something and to receive something from you? Because I think at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to talk about when we talk about unity. People create a presence. When they come into my presence, do they walk away more peaceful, more hopeful, feeling more loved, more Christ-like? What am I cultivating for them when they're walking through my orbit? Or is being around me simply something to be survived? Something to be endured? What am I creating for you, and what are you creating for me? It's not life-changing thought, but it is something that is the heart of unity. Because unity is not just simply because we're here together. Unity is because I'm giving you something intentionally, and you're giving me something. And what are we giving each other? So tomorrow, this afternoon, when you're at Pizza Sam's tonight, by the way, that's where you're all going. It's going to be announced. Pizza Sam's tonight. In the coming week, when people enter your orbit, they might forget the things you said. They might forget what you looked like. They might forget your name. But they are not going to forget how you make them feel. And there are people that we enter and we see and we interact with or don't interact with. There might be people here today that you look at and you're like, that face looks familiar. Don't know your name. Think about that for just a minute. We've been coming here since COVID. So that's what, 5-6 years? That's over 250 Sundays. And I don't know your name. What am I creating for you, and what are you creating for me? That's where unity starts to change our lives. That's where we start to do something different. So I'm just going to leave you with this one last question. What experience, when you interact with somebody, are you about to create? And will they experience Christ because of it? When we speak of unity as a church, it's natural and it's easy to think about agreement or absence of conflict. But unity isn't everyone having the same experience. Unity is us accepting the responsibility of the experience we're creating for others. So I challenge us to think of unity as a shared accountability, a responsibility to create an experience that's Christ-like for others. Join me in a prayer, if you would. Our Lord God, we ask that you would humble us, empty us of our selfish ambitions, empty us and help us to think that stop thinking that we are the center of the universe. Make us aware of the humanity around us. Make us aware and make use each of us. Use our unique skills, whether we're the wise, the funny, the comforter. Help us use our personal gifts and who we are, not to change us into all the same person, but help us to be what we are as a gift to others. Let the tiny portion of this world that's going to enter each of our lives come through our orbits, experience you through us. We pray this in the name of your Son, and we pray that as we walk away from today, we can start to be more unified, not because we do the same thing or come to the same place, but because we care enough to give to each other. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.